Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Football Fridays with Joey Harrington. The day after Thanksgiving, we have a few loose ends to tie up before we get to the game formerly known as the Civil War. Or shall we call it the game with no name?
What is it, like the platypus? I don't know, where are we? The platy?
Is that what they're calling it?
Well, I think there's some people that are trying, because it's for the platypus trophy, so I think some people are trying to call it the platy.
I don't hate that. How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving? We got all sorts of things. I assumed you were starting with soccer, and then I got the Thanksgiving, but then there was the game with no name, like... My mind went in so many different directions. My Thanksgiving was great.
Good.
Kind of mellow this year.
Okay.
Kind of hung around during the day and kicked the ball around with the boys and then went and ate some turkey.
Dark or white?
Oh, I'm dark.
Yeah.
It's really it's the only dark way to go.
And here's the only correct answer to the question of what is, well, there's lots of questions. The best part of the meal is the stuffing,
100%.
But it has to have sausage in it.
Okay.
And or gravy on top of it, and it's called stuffing, not dressing. The question about, are cranberries any good? They can be, as long as they're actually made and from actual cranberries and not coming out of a can. And what are the other questions? Green bean casserole. There was no green bean casserole at our table.
Best time
any
to eat.
I'm missing?
Let me just say for the record, there is not a single thing you just said that I disagree with.
No, I agree with that.
That is...
You've thought about this.
Yeah.
That's what we want from you.
I appreciate it.
What is the best time of day to eat? This is what we were discussing on Wednesday.
I would give, there's a lot of, it depends on how your day plays out, right? It depends on if it's a large gathering or a small gathering, and what is involved with the rest of your day. I would argue for the 5 o'clock time frame.
Controversial.
Because it's late enough, it's close, it's an early dinner time. However, it allows you to kind of marinate and talk with family and come back for seconds. And then still leaves room for dessert at a time that isn't like, hey, it's 9 o'clock and people want to go home. And it still allows you to catch a little bit of football, you know, after dinner, should you choose to go that route. People who say earlier, like the 4 o'clock, it's not dinner time. It's not dinner time. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not ready to eat turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes. That just doesn't happen at like 3:45. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, this is where we
you diverge.
Yeah. I go, well, Buck and I determined that on Wednesday that we feel like the sweet spot is between 1 and 4. And I know it's not dinner time yet, but at the same time, Thanksgiving's a very different day. It's like you only eat once. And so
when I've already started
earlier
at like 11.
Exactly.
So,
well, and you've already started snacking as well.
Oh, 100%.
Remember that.
Yeah, we do appetizers. Like,
yeah.
Like starting at like 10:30, food's already being laid out. So
there's your problem.
Yeah, things things have been put in motion that can't be undone. You know, like I'm eating pot stickers at like 10:30.
All wrong. You're approaching all things all wrong here. Is what you need to do is you need to wait until, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock-ish, to have like a mild brunch, right? You fill the, you know, or you satiate the tank. You don't fill the tank, but you give it nourishment to be able to last until that 4 o'clock snacking time. So then you can have the 5 o'clock dinner. Yeah, because if you start going at it at 10:30, yeah, you're going to be eaten by one.
Yeah.
Because you can't, it's like a train or it's like a boulder rolling down the hill. You can't stop it once you start it.
I feel like you're one of those skinny guys with discipline. most of us are not. And once we start, especially if we're drinking,
yeah.
I mean, you need to serve us earlier.
And my family, I don't know if you...
So when does the first drink hit when does it hit the lips? That's another question.
It was like about 10...
For me, yesterday it was about 10:30.
Yeah, I was going to say about 10:30, 10:45, mimosas were being made. And then the problem with that is, like, my family, because we do a non-traditional Thanksgiving. We always do, like, an Asian Thanksgiving. So it's like, at, like, 10:45, not only were mimosas being had, but the crab rangoon came out, the crab puffs. And then after the crab puffs came the egg rolls. And then after the egg rolls came spinach artichoke dip. And by then, the brown has already come out. And like you said, you can't undo that. It's on.
Well, you can't just pace yourself. I mean, you have to. I don't know.
Yeah,
we look at this differently.
We don't disagree in anything that we're saying. We're simply starting at different times, yeah. Right? You start with the liquid at 10:30, which then means that you're going to be, you're going to be full on dinner by 1:30. I start at about 1:30, 2 o'clock, which, you get the ball rolling, and after a couple out, then it's 5 o'clock when I meet, right? So it's simply just the designated time at which you are beginning the festivities that dictate the rest of the day.
Rob, you hit it on the head when you said that Joey's a skinny guy with discipline. Like, that is what this boils down to is...
He doesn't know what it's like to be us.
No, we have no discipline, whereas right. Joey is a man of focus, like, and discipline.
Just in that example there, we can't start drinking at 1:30. I don't have the discipline to wait until then.
And what am I supposed to do the rest of the day? Yeah, I got early football on.
It's a wasted morning.
Okay, but hold on. I've got kids. Right? Mm. Who are like, hey, Dad, let's go play.
Yeah,
so what do? Yeah. You go out and you go play, right? And so then you end up in down the street, and there's a neighborhood soccer game at 10:30, 11 o'clock. And it's not like I'm bringing a flask with me, because then I'd be like just degenerate dad. And so, yeah, you go play soccer with the kids, you run around, you get yourself a little workout, knowing that, okay, I'm probably going to be eating too many calories tonight. Yeah, there's that skinny guy mentality. But then you come back, you get yourself cleaned up, you have your brunch to make sure you don't go too hard too early. And then, yeah, I mean, it's just everybody's got a different process. Your process is wrong, but, everybody's got a different process.
All right, the other loose end is the Bourbon Barrel Benefit. It is over. One of our listeners won it.
Yeah.
P1 Jim.
That's crazy.
He doesn't
drink. He's not a drinker.
He doesn't drink.
He just wanted to support the cause.
There's so many people that are furious. Like, I've got people texting me, who won? And I tell them, some guy named James Miller. And who is he? I was like, I don't know. He knows Sook, though, and he doesn't drink. And everybody's I just get it, like, whether it's this giant emoji, like, with the eyes open, or with, like, the middle finger, or it's just a what with exclamation points. Like,
double
people
whammy.
Are furious.
Yeah.
However,
they should be.
What I don't know if Jim told you, Sook, but what he's possibly talking about is opening up that bottle and sharing it with people, whoever wants to come.
Yeah, doing like a tasting.
Ship in a couple extra bucks that he would then donate again on top of that to the foundation.
That's a
so
great
that
idea.
That would be a pretty... It's an unbelievably... And literally, like, that's the whole point of this, of our foundation, of our program, is building community and connection for our students. And, like, to have somebody... In our first year doing this, say, you know what, I want to open this up to the community who helped donate. Yeah. So I don't know that we're going to be able to run this thing, but we may be passing out, sending out a quick little email to the people who participated to say, hey, if you and is it Jim or James? What does he go by?
It's Jim, but I mean, it's either way, but he goes by Jim.
We call him P1 Jim.
Yeah, P1
Jim. That's the way he always signs his text to our show.
P1 Jim. So if people may be emailing P1 Jim and hanging out and having a pour of Pappy 23 and a cigar. So there's still hope for you guys out there. But I will say, and I gotta say, thank you, huge thank you, not only to the two of you, but everybody who participated. We raised $67,000.
Wow, that's awesome.
With no marketing, yeah. With no, you know, I told you guys about the fiasco that we had to go through just to get our, to get this whole thing in, you know, to make it legal so that we could do it, right? You know, no marketing, no, you know, we were told one day that, you know, hey, the barrel's on its way, and then we're told like the next day, hey, it got stolen. And then, you know, I mean, it was just an absolute cluster. And but at the end of the day, it's $67,000. And the people from Buffalo Trace were so happy, not only with what we were able to do with the barrel, but what we do as an organization, that we're going to do it again next year.
Awesome.
And hopefully we can, you know, our goal is to double what we did this year. Now that we have a little bit of footing and people know what's happening. And, I mean, huge thank you to you guys for helping me get the word out, and a huge thank you to everybody who participated, because we endowed in perpetuity half of the scholarship this year.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
We do this again, and we are paying for somebody's school for eternity.
Well, congratulations. Well done, and it's awesome that it's coming back next year, because that's how you really
– yeah.
You keep doing it every year. 10 years from now, you're going to be raising hundreds of thousands.
And it's cool. I know that Jim's not a drinking guy, but how awesome is it that he heard it and wanted to support the cause? You know, he bought some raffle tickets just because he thought it was a good cause.
Well, I don't think that's awesome because he won.
It
is funny. Like, yeah. I saw people coming in. Like, somebody I bought like 12 tickets, and somebody bought 50 tickets.
Wow.
And like all these people, like, just putting in a bunch of money, yeah, in a bunch of tickets, and Jim bought like two or three, and, which is great. But it's like, hey, that computer, that random computer drawing that pulls it out. It doesn't matter how many you bought.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, let's pause. I was not going to bring up soccer. We don't have time for soccer. You mentioned.
Oh, but what, you know what you could do? It just takes one, right? That's soccer.
Yeah.
It just takes one goal.
That's right. And they didn't even get that.
Didn't get any of them. Yeah.
Let's come back and talk about the Civil War. I've got, unfortunately, we have to start with Joey Five Picks. We've got to go all the way back. I have questions.
Okay.
And then we'll get to...
I'm good. Hey, I'm an open book. Yeah, let's do it.
I know you are. That's why I love you. So we'll get to that.
Joey Five Picks and a fumble. Don't forget
that's right.
The last one.
Joey Six Turns.
Don't short him. Don't short him on the fumble.
I forgot about that. Joey Six Turns. Okay, we'll get to that and tomorrow.
Nobody else has ever been blindsided on a three-step drop on the 6-yard line. Come on.
Tomorrow's game as well. When we return with Joey Harrington here, brought to you by Mods PDX on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, we're back with Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. It is Civil War week, and I will call it that because I don't have anything else to call it.
Yeah.
Although you were saying platypus.
Some people are calling it the platy.
The platy?
You know,
I don't mind that.
You know, the natty, but instead of that,
what
the,
do you think,
the platy.
Joey, do you have a name for the – do you like the platy? Do you have a name?
I hate the platy. I'll be honest, because I think that's kind of, I don't know. I was on board with the platypus simply because they found the trophy, and you know, like I thought, okay, this could be something cool that you know, takes the place of the Civil War. But at this point, I don't care. And
I don't either.
Yeah. I mean, it's look. The change happened during COVID. And it was brought. I mean, let's give people the story. I've heard so many people saying, "Well, just because you know, somebody who never played decided to get politically correct and change it, I'm not changing." Well, that's not what happened. Players, former players, led by Dennis Dixon, and I don't know who the representative from Oregon State was, they came to the presidents of the university and they said, we are asking to change this because of the connotation of our Civil War and what that means for slavery and in our country and how that makes us feel as African-Americans. And they came to some of us who had played and said, do you mind? I said, you know, or do you have feelings about this? And I said, whatever. I'm in support of my teammates. I'm in support of my family, you know, my Oregon football family. And if they say this is something that is hurtful to them, then I'm on board, because it doesn't change the nature of this game. It is still an Oregon-Oregon State interstate rivalry game. So this was not like some trying to be PC, some guy in a closet somewhere just decided. This was players who came to the president of the university to make it, to ask for this to happen. Now, it didn't really get, I don't know, publicized, or, you know, because it was during COVID and, you know, there was all sorts of other stuff going on. But that's the situation that brought this about. And so now we're in a place that nobody quite knows what to call it.
But you're right. It doesn't matter. This is going to be a great game, yeah. And everybody's excited.
Yeah.
It's the most excited I've been in a number of years. I mean, I know it's not for the Pac-12 title or the game on both sides, but when was the last time you had two teams top 25 and it felt like, I mean, it's a field goal game in Vegas. I mean, it really feels like it could go either way. It's been a while since we've had one of these.
Well, there's a lot riding on it.
Yeah.
Too,
yeah. For Oregon.
This is the scariest game of Oregon season.
I agree.
I mean, and I've felt this for a couple weeks now. You could see this brewing. You could see the way Jonathan Smith is building this program. You could see Oregon State's defense really start to lock in a couple weeks ago. And this is that game. I mean, because if you look at all of Oregon's, we'll call them challenge games, or they were all at home. They were all with the exception of last week, they were a healthy Bo Nix and a healthy offensive line, right? Last week, you didn't have a healthy bow or a healthy offensive line, but you had the benefit of being at home. You don't have that benefit this week. You're on the road at Reser against a really good football team. This is the definition of a scary game. If you're Oregon, you better be ready.
Yeah, this is their Super Bowl too, and I always hate a team that's like that feels like that. I mean, they got nothing to lose, man. It's going to be fun. Now, on the Joey six turns tip, five picks and a fumble. I was looking back at that game. That was in 2000. Obviously, this game, the Civil War. Was that a top 10 matchup at the time?
We were number 8, and they were number 6 or 5.
Okay.
Yeah, or maybe vice versa. But yeah, we were both in the top 10.
Yeah, and that was the year they beat Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl, right?
Fiesta Bowl.
Like, that team
was
really,
they went 11-1
that
year.
That team was legit.
Yeah,
that was Chad Johnson and TJ Houshmandzadeh and Ken Simonton. Jonathan Smith was obviously the quarterback. But defensively, yeah, they were a good defense as well.
Well, I use that as an example of, like, you just never know what happens in these rivalry games, because you don't, I mean, that's not what you did. How many times did you turn it over in your career? Probably not even, I mean, that's probably more than half of your turnovers at Oregon. The whole time you played there was in that one game. So strange things happen in games like this. My question is, what happened? You know, was it just one of those days?
Four tip balls.
Yeah, so it was just one of those days where the ball bounced.
Yeah, there were four tip balls that ended up getting picked off, and that happens. The other one, it's funny. I threw a ball to Justin Peel up the seam, and guy grabbed him from behind, and he couldn't reach out for it. And so then Jake Cookus had three of those picks, and that was the one that wasn't picked. And actually, I went screaming at the back judge after that for the hold. That back judge came up to me in the airport like 2 months later and introduced himself and said, "I was your back judge, and I got downgraded on that call when I got reviewed afterwards because you were right." I was like, I know I was right, but thanks so much. that just happened. And like I said, the fumble, we were still driving in the fourth quarter. We're down, I think we were down 10, driving with a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter, down on about the 6-yard line. And we were just throwing a quick little three-step that I hesitated for a second and then got blindsided. And sometimes the ball just bounces the wrong way. And that day, it bounced the wrong way every single time.
Every time.
And, yeah.
They were good.
It is. They were a phenomenal football team.
But so were you.
That was. But, yeah, so were we. But they were. People don't. I don't think people give them credit for how good they were that year, because they, if I remember correctly, they lost a close one to Washington. That was the Tui Asisopo team that we beat. There weren't too many teams in the country that could have beaten Oregon State that year. And Dennis Erickson had that team absolutely rolling.
Yeah, and they put the exclamation point on it too, beating Notre Dame.
Yep.
Great. It's probably the best season I remember for Oregon State.
I don't think it's close.
It's their best season ever.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's the best season they've ever had.
And then the next year was, at the time, your best season ever, right? When you guys, now you've since had a couple of title game runs, but that one was. That Civil War was close, right? Didn't that one end up being 17-14 or something?
Well, that was the Keenan Howery punt return when the skies opened up. And yeah, I mean that was the year where Oregon State was actually picked to finish number one in the country by Sports Illustrated with Ken Simonton coming back. And I believe, don't quote me, I'm not sure, did they finish 6-5, 5-6? You know, they were right around that 500 mark. But that day they were in our, you know, they were up in our jaw all day, and it was a tough one. It was raining sideways and it was freezing cold. That was the first time they moved the game back to December. And so, that was a horrible, horrible football game again, which I played terrible. And was bailed out by our defense and Keenan Howery on that punt return. But, you know, with the exception of, what was it, 10 years where Oregon was just head and shoulders better than Oregon State? This game had been a back and forth. I think it was a 20-year run where the home team won every game. And so this is always, always an incredibly competitive game. And I don't see this year being any different. I mean, this is going to be, in my mind, this is a game where Bo Nix could potentially cement himself into, I don't know if we'll call it, you know, into like, you know, cement his legacy after 1 year, but, you know, could absolutely make a mark on how he is viewed in history. I mean, this could be a game that helps define how people think of Bo Nix. Should he need to lead a game-winning drive here at the end against Oregon State, which I think is a very realistic possibility.
Yeah, especially if he's hobbled. I mean, if he's hobbled, I think if he's hobbled, and he should be better than last week, but still, he couldn't do anything last week.
Especially in the second half.
But they won, and he threw the ball great. If he has another game like that where everybody knows he's hurt and he pulls it out for him, I think he's going to the Heisman ceremonies with that win.
I hope he does it. I mean, he's so deserving of that. I don't think he'll win for a whole host of reasons. You know, like we've talked about, I don't think people can forget about the first game against Georgia, but you would be hard pressed in finding anybody who is more deserving of being in that room in New York come the end of the season.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, whoever puts the exclamation point finishes thing off between Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud, you know, it just feels like it's one of theirs to win at this point.
To lose.
Like, who ends up having a better performance here in the final week and then in their respective title game?
Right. Which, I don't know. I'm disappointed, or I should say, I'm disappointed that it has become such a quarterback-centric award.
Yeah.
Right? Much like the NFL MVP.
Mm-hmm.
The award is for the most outstanding player in college football. It's not the best player on the best team.
Yeah.
It's the most outstanding player in college football. And I don't know. I'd like to see it move beyond the best player on the best team.
Yeah, because every now and then you get a running back, like, you know, that's about it. Like Alabama, it feels like if you have a dominant year and Alabama's quarterback isn't great, they'll give it to one of them. But
then you give it to the running back.
They give it to the running back. But I'm trying to think, is Desmond Howard the last receiver? And he was kind of a gadget guy, and we've had Charles Woodson.
No, Alabama.
He's
with the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, Devontae Smith.
Smith.
You're right. Smith, yep. I forget about him.
Yep.
So, again, basically just play for Alabama or be a quarterback.
Right.
Pretty much. I mean, defensively, Charles Woodson is the only one who has been – I mean, I think of guys like Julius Peppers. I think of guys like Jadeveon Clowney. Like, those players should absolutely be involved in this conversation. It's a shame that they're not.
Where are your eyes tomorrow on this game? What's big for you?
Does Forsythe play?
Yeah.
That's it. That's the linchpin for me. He runs the show. You saw the difference between an offensive line with Forsythe for the first, 10 games, and without last week against Utah. They were good, but they weren't dominant. They weren't great. They weren't running the ball all over people, because that is what they're going to have to do against Oregon State tomorrow. This is not a game. I mean, if you look at Oregon State's defense, they're the only defense in the entire conference that has more interceptions than touchdown passes allowed. Boy. This is the best run defense in the Pac-12. And so you are going to have to control this. And their offense is going to be, they've got a young quarterback, but it's led by their running game. Like, this is going to be a defensive, grind it out, 21-17, 17-14 type of game. And if you expect to win that, it's not going to be on Bo's arm. That isn't how I see this game playing out. I see this game being played out in the trenches, because they're going to bring it at you. And if you're going to win in the trenches, you better have your center.
Yeah,
Alex Forsythe has been the linchpin for this whole offense this year, and he's the key for me.
Yeah, and if Oregon State, you know, they need to be healthy in the secondary too, because if they are, they can do like what they did against USC, and Utah has some of this as well, they did against Oregon. When you have elite corners, it changes it, because you can play man on the outside, you can bring a safety down to commit to stopping the run, and not worry about getting beat over the top. And teams that can do that can give Oregon problems. And, you know, we've seen Oregon State be able to do that.
How do you combat that, Sook? How do you combat that?
You run.
If you're going to have an unblocked guy,
yep.
Okay, so we'll get into the schematics here. I got an unblocked guy here coming down. Defense is shifting. Who's making the call at the line of scrimmage to change, to make sure the correct guys are getting a hat on hat?
Alex
so
Forsythe.
That you don't have contact. Exactly.
Yep.
Right? If they're going to be bringing an extra guy down, if they're going to be playing eight in the box, somebody has to be making those line calls. Yeah. Somebody has to say, this guy's more of a threat. Yeah. Safety's back and the linebacker up on this side, therefore I know pressure's coming here. I got my one technique on this side, you know, their tendency is they're sliding this direction. I can pass it off and come back. Like, those are the things that people don't pick up on. He does that so well. He is the leader of that group that we have all said has been the best offensive line in college football all season.
Yep.
And if he plays, they win.
I have a gambling note. I know you're not a gambling guy, but I'll leave it on this one for those who don't know. I saw this today and I had to double take it. Oregon State has won, not only won, but they have covered every one of their last 12 home games.
Really?
Did you know that?
Wow. Look at the burrito being a home field advantage.
12-0.
Wow.
Against the spread. And
you call it the burrito barn too?
Yeah, I call it the burrito. Now it's only the half burrito, but yeah, I like calling Reeser the burrito.
I've always called it the burrito barn, and I didn't know anybody else that, because that's what we grew up on.
Yes.
You know, those Reese's burritos out of the freezer. Okay, which one was your favorite? Bean and cheese.
Bean. I like
the red hot beef.
No, I liked the brown one. That was the beef and bean.
The beef and bean.
Yep, the brown wrapper. That was my go-to. But the bean and cheese was a classic. The orange wrapper. Nothing wrong with the bean and cheese orange wrapper after school.
You were always left with the red hot beef.
Yeah, no one wanted it.
At the bottom of
no
it.
No one wanted it.
Like, is it. Yeah, I mean, kids don't like spicy. I don't know. You're always left with that at the end.
It was the bastard.
But you know how you got around that? You took a big old slice of Tillamook cheese, and you melted it on top of the beef and bean.
Oh, look at that.
To just kind of mellow it out a little bit.
I like where that. Where was that 35 years ago?
Wow. All right, sir. Well, congrats on the knowledge, yes. Wisdom. Experience. Congrats on the bourbon benefit. It should be a great game tomorrow. Enjoy it. And we will talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. See ya. Joey Harrington, each Friday here on the show, brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Let's get to the club next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.